somebody didn't poke me sooner or later, I was really going to fall asleep. It took a while. Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As common as the turkey and the stuffing and the cranberry sauce is the post-feasting nap. Am I right? That's a big thing about Thanksgiving. Many people, myself included, have blamed tryptophan, the tryptophan in the turkey, as the reason people get so sleepy after the Thanksgiving meal. But I learned this past week that that's actually a myth. Turkey doesn't have any more tryptophan in it than chicken does. And you never hear of anybody eating a chicken breast and then complaining about being sleepy, right? In fact, the website WebMD, which is a pretty reputable site for medical information, they talk about how, in this article I read, about how turkey actually is so full of protein that it helps to level out your blood sugar levels. So if there's anything on your plate that's going to prevent grogginess, it's probably the turkey. That would do the most to prevent grogginess, actually. So what is the real culprit behind our sleepiness? What's the reason we get so sleepy after that big Thanksgiving meal? Well, it is overindulgence. It is all the other stuff on the plate surrounding the turkey. All the fat and carbs in copious amounts. That's what gets us. That's what makes us sleepy, simply because we are eating too much. And so this post-Thanksgiving dinner coma is a timely metaphor. It's a timely metaphor for the spiritual condition that we're being warned about in our scripture readings for this morning, for this first Sunday in the season of Advent. First, we hear Paul addressing the Christians in Rome. He says to them that now is the moment for them to wake from sleep. He encourages them to lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. He encourages them to live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness and debauchery and licentiousness and quarreling and jealousy. Instead, Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Here in this reading, wakefulness is being contrasted with the spiritual sleepiness that happens through overindulgence. Spiritual sleepiness is a matter of living solely for the pursuit of pleasure, drinking too much, indulging every urge, every appetite without any regard to what is holy or healthy. Wakefulness, that keeping awake, that wakefulness, on the other hand, means being awake to Christ. It means paying attention to Christ's presence and his promises. Then we have our gospel reading for this morning. There Jesus is talking about the final coming of his kingdom. He clearly says that about that day and hour, nobody knows. So file that away for next time somebody says they do. But then Jesus goes on to emphasize the importance of being ready. Jesus emphasizes the importance of keeping awake. Jesus says that the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah, where people were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage and just carrying on their daily lives. And there's nothing inherently wrong with any of that stuff, going about your daily life. But if you remember the story of Noah, people were doing all of those things while being completely oblivious to the presence of God. In fact, they were doing all those things while rejecting God. Remember the story, there was nobody left on earth who had faith in God. There was only one man left who had any kind of faith in God, and that was Noah. Everybody else saw Noah building the ark, and they all mocked him and laughed at him on their way to the Black Friday sales. This is what it will be like in the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus says. People will be busy indulging themselves and serving themselves and living for themselves, all the while being asleep to the reality of God. Jesus says that some will be so spiritually sleepy that they will miss his coming altogether. Keep awake, therefore, Jesus says, for you do not know the day or the hour that your Lord is coming. It's a bit of a paradox, or an irony if you prefer, that these days leading up now to Christmas, one of the two biggest days on the Christian calendar, in this season we find ourselves in, this is a season that the culture around us is constantly trying to lure us into a sort of spiritual slumber. The holiday season now is in full swing, and so we're constantly being tempted to overindulge in things that distract us from Christ, rather than draw us to him, things that make us too sleepy to really sincerely prepare for his coming. This is precisely why we have the season of Advent. This is why we need the season of Advent. The word Advent means to come. And so we are reminded through our scripture readings throughout the season of Advent that we are in the process of preparing for the coming of our Lord. We're constantly being prodded to stay awake, to prepare for the coming of Jesus, yes, at Christmas time, of course, but also to be prepared for his final coming, and also to prepare our hearts for his coming among us even now through word and sacrament. There's a lot of talk in our society today about cultural appropriation. You probably heard that phrase before. Well, it seems that Advent is being culturally appropriated by the marketplace to do the exact opposite of what it is intended to do. Here's an example of what I mean. I was this past week looking on the Today Show website. I have a long-standing and mostly platonic affection for Savannah Guthrie, so I check that once in a while. And I happened to be looking at the Today Show website, and I saw there's a clip there about Advent. I saw Advent in the title. They're talking about Advent on the Today Show. This is fantastic. And the title of it said, the 52 best Advent calendars for 2019. I thought, wow, this is great. They're talking about Advent calendars on the Today Show. 52 of them. So I scrolled through all 52 of those Advent calendars that they were profiling, and I found that only one of the 52 had anything even remotely to do with Jesus. There were plenty of candy Advent calendars filled with Reese's Pieces or with M&Ms. There was an Advent calendar that had chocolates shaped like stormtroopers that looked kind of cool to me. There were the ever-popular Lego Advent calendars with 24 different little figures that you could put together leading up to Christmas. And then things got really crazy. There was an Advent calendar filled with 24 little miniature bottles of hot sauce. There was an Advent calendar called a Man-Vent calendar, like a hyper-masculine Advent calendar called the Man-Vent calendar. And it was filled with spicy nuts and different kinds of jerky in it. There was the Barbie calendar, which came with a Barbie doll. And then each day leading up to Christmas, she had a different outfit that you could pull out and put on the Barbie doll. And then there's this one. This is my favorite one. There was one called the NYX Professional Love Lust Disco Greatest Hits Lip Advent Calendar. I kid you not, that's a real thing. 24 different days of lipstick. Love, lust, disco, I don't know how it all fits together, but it's a lipstick Advent calendar. And then, of course, there were several, like the 24 different samplers of wine leading up to Christmas, 24 different bottles of beer, 24 different little airplane-sized bottles of liquor. Again, one of these Advent calendars out of 52 even barely mentioned Jesus. The rest were all counting down to nothing. They were simply an excuse to indulge. As in the days of Noah, Jesus said, people will be eating and drinking and paying no attention to God. Keep awake, therefore. Or as St. Paul says, now is the time for you to wake from sleep. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and debauchery and licentiousness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, making no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It's easy for us to point our fingers at the culture around us, but you know what they say, when you point your finger, you always have three pointing back at you. And the truth is, we are just as likely to fall asleep to the presence of God. We don't come here to church because we're better than all those people buying those silly Advent calendars. We come to church because we know that we need to be shaken awake as well. We too are tempted to overindulge in all the eating and drinking and shopping and revelry of this season. And sometimes that actually has the effect of luring us to sleep spiritually. We get all busy with all kinds of things that might be fun, but they actually obscure Christ rather than draw us closer to him. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Feasting and shopping and revelry are not inherently bad or wrong. Advent doesn't exist to wag its finger at our celebrating. Advent isn't some blue version of the Grinch who's come to steal our joy. Instead, the season of Advent seeks to direct us towards the source of true joy. Advent is a season that helps us to keep awake to the coming of our Lord, the only true source of joy in our lives. And so we mark the days, we mark the time with devotional calendars and with candles in order to be mindful of our Lord's first coming as the baby in the manger, as the Word made flesh, as Emmanuel, which means God with us. We light those candles to remember that light shining in the darkness. We gather for worship on Sundays and on Wednesdays during Advent because we know that God comes to us even now through word and sacrament to give us gifts, the gifts of forgiveness and life and salvation. We gather here at the church because we know that this is the ark, right? And people might laugh at it or mock it, they might ignore it, but we know that this church is the ark. It is the vessel of our salvation. And today, as we kick off the season of Advent, we are reminded that we are being prepared for a deeper salvation that is still on the way. As St. Paul says, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. Christ's final kingdom is yet to come. And every day that passes brings us one day closer to that day when healing and the restoration of all things will take place. Advent then teaches us to live in joyful anticipation of that promise being fulfilled. Chocolates shaped like stormtroopers might bring us temporary happiness. I know it would to me, so if anybody wants to get me one, I will not complain. But Advent is about the promise of Christ's coming kingdom, and that gives us a lifetime's worth of happiness and hope and joy. So, my friends, let us not overindulge in things that make us spiritually sleepy. Both Paul and Jesus warn us today that there's a spiritual slumber that can result in us missing out on the coming kingdom. So let all of our celebrating this season point us to Christ Jesus. Let us stay awake to his presence even now. For he comes to us through his word to renew us in his promises. He comes to us even now in his Holy Supper to give us a foretaste of that great feast that is still on the way. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing our hymn of the day.